successful use of violence typically engenders enthusiastic praise among the flatterers of the court, the secular priesthood of intellectuals of the modern era. As far as I know, that's universally true, because I don't know of any exceptions. Even in the most monstrous states, take, say, Hitler Germany, Hitler was probably the most popular leader in German history as long as he was marching from triumph to triumph. And Germany, we should remember, is represented the peak of the cultural and scientific peak of Western civilization. These are unfortunately the leading themes of history and well-known ones. One of the main historians who studied European state formation, Charles Tilly, pointed out quite accurately that, quoting him, that for a millennium, war has been the dominant activity of European states for a very good reason. The central tragic fact is simple. Coercion works. Those who apply substantial force to their fellows get compliance, and from that compliance draw the multiple advantages of money, goods, deference, access to pleasures denied the less powerful people. But the deference includes the broad claim of the educated classes and costless destruction of defenseless enemies. That wins particular admiration. It also becomes habitual, natural, and proof of one's virtue, so that the victors are suffused with a saintly glow at the height of their glory in a noble phase of their foreign policy. I don't have the imagination to make that up, quoting from some typical descriptions of U.S. leaders by eminent historians and commentators in the world's leading newspaper in the past few years. These are all historical truisms, should be regarded as such, truisms that most of the people in the world have learned the hard way throughout history. One normal common of easy victory over defenseless enemies is the habit of preferring force over the pursuit of other means, peaceful means.